Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for how you have given your life for us. And Lord, we acknowledge right now that we need you in our lives. God, we need you to intervene in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, to grow us up in you. God, we realize that when we try to do things our own way, that it never ends up good. But Lord, when we turn the reins over to you, Lord, we know that things go well, that we are blessed by you because we are living in obedience to you. And God, I pray that that would be the bent of our heart this morning, this day, this week. In Christ's name we pray. God's people said, amen. Submission. It's a military term. It's a term that means to voluntarily place yourself under. And it's not a term that's super popular these days, but for us as believers, we know that that needs to be the shape, the condition of every single one of our hearts. Because the Bible says that if we humble ourselves before the Lord, that He will lift us up. Many times we think that the way to get ahead, the way to get up, the way to get high is to fight for it, to go for it, to climb that ladder. But the Bible teaches something different. The economy of the Bible is different when it says that in order to go high, you must go low. In fact, Jesus told us this in the book of Luke when he said that if you want to exalt yourself, then you will be humbled, you'll be lowered. But if you humble yourself, then God will exalt you. In many places, James chapter 4, verses 6 says this, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Why? So that in due time, He may exalt you. So instead of us having a heart that says, I want to be exalted, I want what I want, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to be my own boss, and I'm not going to be under anyone's authority, the Bible, time and time again, calls us out and says this, that if you are not in submission to somebody in your life, that you are out of control. I've never met a person that was growing spiritually that was super proud, struggling with pride, wanting to be the boss, wanting to be in control, wanting to be alone. Maybe not even wanting to be bossy, but wanting to be away from anybody that could have any kind of authority over them. But the Bible tells us right from the beginning in creation that that's not God's created way. We see actually in the scriptures that submission is part of who God Himself is. When we look at the picture of the Trinity, we see three persons in one who voluntarily submit themselves to each other. The God that we worship, the Godhead, submits Himself to one another and functions in a complementarian kind of a way. And that gives us an example for how we should live our lives. And then when we look at the universe that God has created, we see the same thing, that the way that this is laid out is that submission is the order of the day. I was thinking about this past week, I was thinking about the sun and the earth and how the earth in a lot of ways is in submission to the gravity or the pull of the sun, that it circles and it orbits around the sun. And I just, in my daydreaming, was thinking about what if the sun and the earth had a conversation? And the earth was like, you know what? This is not fair. I've been circling you for so long. I've been caught up in your orbit. Everything's about you. My life revolves around you. And you're the center of attention. Without the earth being able to see herself and say, look how beautiful God has made me. You know, only because the sun is there am I able to stay warm. Am I able to stay in place? Because without the gravity of the sun and the earth always falling into the sun, the earth would spin off in a straight line and be out in a cold, dark universe and would eventually herself die. And so it's a complementarian relationship where there is submission, if you will, from one planet to the next. And that's the way, because God did not create a world of chaos or disorder. And so that trickles down into our human relationships, and the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 13, that God has given us the blessing of human authority, that is government, and that we are to submit to the governing authorities. Can you imagine what the world would be like if none of us wanted to submit to the governing authorities? I mean, it would be a world of complete and utter chaos and death and just out of control-ness. Now, as imperfect as government is, granted, it is a blessing that it is there and that things aren't just left to their own. But then it also trickles down all the way into the family, and God has ordered the family in such a way that it's like the sun and the earth, where things can work together and that each one can have its role and have its part. But it all the way down to ourselves individually, we could each one, myself included, ask ourselves this question: who have I submitted myself to? Who is my authority? Who have I willingly placed myself under their coaching, their encouragement, their accountability, so that I'm not a loner, I'm not a maverick, I'm not doing this life on my own, just me and God. I don't need anybody else. That's not the biblical way. So this message is for all of us this morning to say we all have to check ourselves and say, if we're doing this on our own, you're doing it wrong. And it's time to take back the word submission and say, this is a beautiful thing for every single one of our hearts. Let's pray again. Lord Jesus, thank you. As we open up your word to Ephesians chapter 5 and we learn what you have done and how you've created, God, I pray that we would embrace what we learn here, that we would love it because it's your design and it's your goodness and it's modeled after you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The future of the family. We've been going through the book of Ephesians for quite a while now. We've been talking about the future of the church as Paul has reminded his church family of who they are in Christ, what their identity is, and what God has done for them so lovingly through his son Jesus Christ, and also how he sealed them with the precious Holy Spirit. And then he moves on to some practical lessons for their lives about how they should be living holy and pure lives. And then he goes on to continue to speak into the life of the church and into the life of their families, because any solid church is built upon solid families that are following the Lord. And so he begins to press in even further. And it doesn't make sense in this culture, because the culture that this church is located in, the city of Ephesus, is a wild city. You know, it's like people gone wild in the city of Ephesus. It's like a modern day Las Vegas. And so to write a letter like this to Las Vegas and say, hey, here's how you should be living, would be laughed at and scoffed at by people who did not know God. And yet, Paul's not writing to those people. Who is Paul writing to? He's writing to the family of God, and he's given them clear and direct lessons and orders for how to order their church life and their family life. And then goes on to talk about their work life and their spiritual warfare life. And so we know that in our society, it's common to hear about the fact that the world is trying to dismantle the traditional family, that the world is trying to redefine what family is, what marriage is, what gender roles are. And if you listen to that stuff long enough, you might even start to think that it kind of makes sense. Because even if you listen to something that's clearly foolish long enough, eventually it will begin to take root in your mind, and eventually you'll begin to be swayed, or you'll drift down the beach towards something that's far off from where you started and what the true north is. And so we want to revisit what the scriptures has told us about the marriage and about family, and we don't want to buy into what the world says, because the future's not looking real bright for the typical American family. In fact, they say that more kids are now living outside of traditional homes with biological mom and dad than are actually living in those kinds of homes. And the trajectory is going further and further that way. And so while that is happening and while those things are being taken apart, at the same time, the science tells us that kids who grow up in those two-parent homes are way better off. If they got a mom and a dad there to raise them up, that the chances that they'll wind up in jail or in trouble later on in life are far decreased if the family looks like the family that we see in the scriptures. And yet at the same time, there's a great rebellion against the desire to live life in that way. So today we're going to cover verses 22, 23, and 24. I thought about titling this message, The Politically Incorrect Wife. But I thought decided to go with something much simpler, which is just one word, submit. Next week will be the word love. Next week will be the word obey. And so we're going to talk about wives. We're going to talk about husbands. We're going to talk about children. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22. We'll go all the way through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Why? For the husbands is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Man, and he gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the words, why? So that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Not something that you'll see on any sitcom today or tomorrow or anytime soon. Wives, submit to your husband. You know, a lot of people have had a lot of angst over this term, and it's not really because that term is unclear. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The reason that a lot of people have had a lot of friction over this term is because of just how simple and how clear and straightforward it is. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Like I said, that's a military term that Paul is using there, saying it's for someone to willingly or voluntarily place themselves under the control or authority of another person. And so this is what Paul is instructing wives to do inside of these families, inside of his church home. And he's saying that the role of the wife, or at least one of the roles in the wife, is to have this attitude of submission toward her husband. And that can be hard. If you feel like, hey, I'm a strong woman and I submit to no one. I am married to the strongest person I know. My wife is stronger than me. I think my wife could beat me in an arm wrestling match. And my wife is just a strong person in general. In fact, even when she dreams, she's a strong person. She woke up the other morning, like a morning or two ago, and she's like, let me tell you about this dream I had. I'm like, all right, give it to me. She's like, so I had this dream that we were having a yard sale. We had all this stuff out. We were out there selling it. And some guy runs up and grabs something and steals it. And she goes, and then I chased after him, tackled him to the ground, and I was like, you need the fear of the Lord in you. And I was thinking, wait, where was I? What was I doing? I was probably cowering under the table somewhere. And so this is not about who's weak and who's strong. This is not about who's better or worse. This is not about value. This is about function and order and how God has ordered things in the universe and in personal relationships to say, a relationship that is ordered glorifies God, brings glory to him, and it reflects who he is. And so it's not about one person being weaker or stronger than the other. And so wives, I know that when we hear this word submit to the Lord or submit to your husband as to the Lord, it can be a tough thing to swallow for some people, especially if you've been drinking the Kool-Aid of the culture. But get this, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Because you might be here and you might say, Well, Pastor, what about this? What if I am the stronger person in the relationship, like physically stronger? I could take my husband. Or what about emotionally stronger? My husband is a wimp. He's a weakling. He's a babbling idiot. Hey, my husband does not want to lead our family spiritually. How can I submit to someone like that? I shouldn't have to do that. I'm smarter than my husband. That's true in many cases, including my own. How can I submit to a man who I feel like I've got better ideas than he has? I actually know how to do this better than he does. That actually might be the case. But then Paul adds this, as to the Lord. And so for wives, they are called to submit themselves willingly, to voluntarily place themselves under the headship or authority of their husband, and they're to do so as to the Lord. That doesn't mean that you are to submit and obey your husband as if he's God, because he's not God. What that verse is telling us is this, is that when you obey or you submit to your husband in matters where you guys, you know, especially if someone has to call the shot on something that you're disagreeing on and the husband needs to take the lead. By the way, men, you are called to step up and be spiritual leaders in your home. So don't leave your wife in that position where there's a vacuum there because you're not doing your job, because then she will be put in more of a quandary. But instead, the guy should be stepping up and leading and loving like Christ, and therefore it would make that job of submission even easier. But that doesn't give you an out if you feel like he's not doing that, because you're doing what you're doing as to the Lord. That is this, is that I don't trust my husband, so I'm having a hard time submitting him. Do you trust God? Because God doesn't say, if your husband's doing everything that he should, and when he finally loves you the way that you want to be loved, and when he finally says that the way you want to hear it be said, and when he finally is making the amount of money that you want him to make and providing all the things around the house that you think he should be doing, and when he's actually adding up to all the things that actually making all the same decisions that you would actually make, then I could submit to him. That's not what the Bible's telling us. The Bible is saying this: you submit to that man as to the Lord. You submit to that man because you are doing that, your work, unto the Lord. And so you don't have to trust him completely. You have to trust God completely. As to the Lord. You trust the Lord. God will take care of the situation. What he's wanting to get at is this, is what is the attitude of your heart? What is the position that you are in that marriage? Because when you signed up for that marriage and said, till death do us part, you understood going in that these are the roles that the scripture has laid out for us, and you can't later on, kind of try to redefine the relationship or the terms, but instead to say, this is my role, it's complementarian to each other, and when marriage is done right, the husband and the wife, they complement each other, and they do it in a beautiful way that brings glory to God. So it's not about consistency. It's not about your past fears. So it can be a lot of times for women, if they've been in a bad relationship in the past and they've been burned, it can be hard to say, now I'm going to submit myself to this man and trust that he's got my best interest in mind and that he's loving me the way that he's supposed to, or adding up to do all the things that I said. Instead, to wake up every morning and say, God, I trust you. Lord, I know that you've got my best interest in mind, that you know what's best, that even though I don't agree with this decision or that decision, Lord, I'm going to submit myself as to you, and I'm doing this in obedience to you, even though I disagree with what is being taken care of or what's not happening in some cases in that way. And we don't always get what God is doing inside of us spiritually when we are obeying him in that way as to the Lord. You ever seen the movie Karate Kid? So there's a scene in the original Karate Kid, you know, where the kid's getting beat up all the time. And it's rough. And he wants to learn. He wants to grow. He wants to go to the next level. And so Mr. Miyagi puts him out there waxing cars, right? Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. And after a while, he starts to go, what in the world am I doing this for? I want to learn karate. I want to learn the martial arts. Instead, you got me out here waxing your cars. And he didn't realize that as he was going through those motions, that he was actually learning what the master wanted him to learn, because later it would be put into use. It's that heart of obedience to say, I'm going to do this even though I don't understand it. And when them cars were all waxed up and shiny, guess what? He was ready, right? No, he wasn't ready at all, because now he had to paint the fence. I don't know if I'm going in the right order or not, but he's out there painting the fence. No, not like that, like this and like this. And after a while, he did those things, and then he was doing some sanding, and then all of a sudden, when Mr. Miyagi came in and started fighting with him, whoosh, all of a sudden, he began to realize what God had been doing in him. Well, not God, but Mr. Miyagi in this case. But a lot of times, all of us, as we place ourselves in submissive relationships to say, I submit myself to the elders of a church. I don't understand or agree with everything that's happening, but I know that God is doing a work here, and I don't have to have every single answer for every little thing and question everything, but I know that I have a heart of submission, and I'm trusting that God is leading these imperfect men to do the right thing, and that they have an open door, and I can come and talk to them anytime I want. But what matters most is the attitude and what I'm learning in that situation. And the same thing with relationships in the home, that God is teaching us through them. And we're going through the motions a lot of times, and we're wondering, God, why am I doing this? And you don't realize, you just don't understand what the outcome yet is, because God is growing you and strengthening you. And yes, it's hard. No, it's not easy to submit to any other human being, much less one that you live with day in and day out, and you know all of their weaknesses and all of their faults and all of their shortcomings. And all of you single people are saying, I'll never get married now. God bless you. Marriage is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing where God changes you and makes you more holy through living and submitting to another person and loving another person that is really hard to love or really hard to submit to. And so he says, now wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. There is the directive. And then he goes from that directive to the explanation in the next verse, verse 23. Why? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. So he begins to explain, why is this so? Because the husband is the head, the kephale, the authority, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body. And so what he's saying is this, is that the family is patterned after the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and we are the bride, the body, and we submit ourselves willingly to his control. And many times, he calls us to live a life and to do things that do not make sense to us and that we do not agree with and that we flat out do not want to do. If you're living the Christian life and God has never called you to do something that's uncomfortable or that you didn't want to do, I would question whether or not you're actually living the Christian life, because we as imperfect people are moving towards sanctification, and God is constantly, daily asking us to do things and to serve people and to love people that we don't want to love and serve and do and give up our time and sacrifice. That is the Christian life. Pick up your cross and follow me. It's not supposed to be easy. If you're looking for an easy marriage, good luck. You're not going to find one. And if you're looking for an easy church where everything goes just the way that you want it to and there's never any sacrifice, that's not really a church, because Jesus is the head of the church. We are his bride. We are submitted to him. So just like wives are supposed to submit to their husbands in the family, we as the church submit to Christ and say, Lord, whatever you call us to do, whatever it takes, we're putting it all on the table. We don't understand it. We're a little scared, I'll be honest with you, but we're trusting that you know what's going to happen. That is the attitude of my heart. And that's the explanation that he's giving to wives, as he said, why is this so? Why am I asking you to do this? Because the family is modeled after God. The family is modeled after the church. And that's just the way it functions. What else does he go on to say here in these verses? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so he's taken us all the way back to creation, if you think about it, that the husband is the head of the wife. When God made the world, he made Adam first and then Eve. Paul uses that argument elsewhere. He takes it back to created order. We don't just go back to this day and time and we say, well, the Apostle Paul was just a male chauvinist pig. That's what he was. That's why he's writing these things. And that was just a cultural thing in Ephesus. They needed to hear that. But nowadays, we've actually evolved past that, and now we don't have to agree with this anymore. That was just for that time. Paul doesn't give us that option. He says, no, this goes all the way back to the garden, because woman was made after Adam and for Adam. And God created that complementarian, beautiful, symbiotic relationship to bring glory to himself. All the way back in the garden, and God had said this, let us make man or mankind in our image. And so we know from that this is not, once again, about value or worth. And this is the mistake that many people make when they hear this message, is that if God is asking me to submit to anybody else, whether it's a church leader, a government authority, my husband, anybody else, a boss at work, that means he's saying that they're better than me. He's not saying that they're better than you. They are not better than you. No one is better than you. No one has more intrinsic worth or value than you, because you are made in the image of God. That's what gives you your value and your worth. It has nothing to do with what job you have, with what position you hold, whether you're a private in the army or a corporal in the army. It doesn't matter. That doesn't change your value and your worth. What it does change is it changes your role, what you are called to do in that season of life. And whatever you're called to do, do it all to the glory of God. Whoever God made you to be, you're like, well, Pastor, that's just not going to make me happy. You know, it'll make you holy. And ultimately, it will bring you joy. When you finally do relinquish the control that the world tells you that you have to have over every situation, when you relinquish that and say, I'm just going to be what God created me to be, and give that a shot, you will find more joy in just obeying what the Creator has created you to be. No fish is ever going to find true joy trying to fly, because God did not create that fish to fly. And so he'll struggle and press in and be disappointed his whole entire life trying to reach the skies, when he's got an entire ocean to swim in, and God has created him beautifully for that. And when he does that the way that God has made him to do, that brings glory to God. And so this is not about value, it's not about worth, but it does go all the way back to creation and say, this is how God created the family. We need husbands, we need wives, we need kids. Those things together are glorifying God. And are those things messed up in this world? Absolutely. Do all those things work out every single time? They don't, because we live in a fallen world. Why do we live in a fallen world? Because mankind eventually refused to submit to God. When they said, God said, hey, I'm giving you this beautiful garden to live in, and I've created it, and I've given you so much good, and if you live the way I've called you to live, then things will go well. But then the woman said, you know what, I don't know. I'm listening to this guy over here on the TV, this serpent. He's just saying that I shouldn't have to live like that. That God's just holding out on me. Like, if I'm doing this whole submission thing and I can't eat that tree, well, then basically it's just saying that God's the boss. And I think I am. I'm going to move in that direction. I'm going to go that way. Where's Adam? Back there, goofing off, hiding under the table while his wife's tackling people, right? Not being what God called him to be, not leading out, not being what the man that he's supposed to be. And she's like, hey, let's eat this. I'll go first. Boom, you go second. Yes, ma'am. As a pastor and my wife, the most marriage counseling that we've done in our ministry together has been through couples who've reversed the roles, have been a weak-willed man and a dominating woman. That's been, over time, the most dominant counseling marriage case that we've ever had. It's just time and time again. In fact, it's the curse in Genesis 3:16, when God says, for what you've done, here's what's going to happen. And one of those curses was this, is that your desire is going to be for your husband. That is, you're going to want to rule over him. That's going to be the tug or the temptation in your life from now till Jesus comes back. And that's really the temptation for all of us, right? Is that we want to get ahead, that we want to be the boss. In your job, you think you're smarter than your boss, right? And you wish you had his position or her position. And it's the same way inside the home. I should be in charge. My ideas are better. My way of doing things are better. But unless both people in the relationship, really all three, if the wives would submit and the husbands would love the way Jesus loves the church and the kids would obey, things operate the way that God has ordered them. So we hear the directive or the command, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Then we hear the explanation, right? Which is that verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Here's the way the org chart is supposed to work. Even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Then he goes to the illustration, verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So as the church submits to Christ in this way, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So up top, we saw as to the Lord, we saw this, I'm obeying God when I do this. And it seems that what he's getting to here at the bottom is the way in which we do this, the heart and how we do this. As the church submits to Christ, how does the church submit to Christ? Because you need to know that in order to get at how we are supposed to be submitting. Well, the church submits to Christ in everything, in every way. This is the way it's supposed to work. And we do so willingly. And we follow the example of Christ, right? Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who's God. And yet he didn't count that as something to be held on to, but he laid that down temporarily and he said, you know what, I'm going to empty myself and I'm going to take on the form of a servant and I'm going to go all the way to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let that attitude be in you. Submit in that way. And so as you think about what it might look like going home this week to say, not only do I see this clear command to voluntarily, by the way, if it's not voluntary, it's not submission. God's not calling the husband to be a dictator or a boss or a smarty pants or a smart aleck, but to be like Jesus and to love how Jesus loved us, which is to lovingly give himself for us. It doesn't always work that way. But submission is voluntary. If it's just control, then that's an ugly picture, and that's not what God has planned out. But when it's complementary, it's beautiful. So voluntarily place yourself in that position and prop up and respect your husband so that he can lead. And that might take a long time. But the end goal is not that your husband would get to where you want him to be, but that you would get to where God wants you to be. And that's only going to happen through you taking the right attitude of submission. And if you're stuck spiritually and you feel like I can't get past this place where I am and I can't grow anymore spiritually, it could be that the problem lies in your current obedience level to God to say, am I respecting and honoring and submitting to my husband the way that the Lord would want me to? And if he showed up at the house tomorrow and said, hey, it's time for a little year-end review, how would you add up on that? Knowing that God sees not just the actions that you do, but he also sees the attitude of your heart. And that circles us back around to this, as the church submits to Christ, in what way? We submit to Christ willingly, lovingly. We submit to Christ in everything. And so submission is not submission when it's kicking and screaming. You know, you could go to a court and try to explain your case, and sometimes your home might look like you're in court, right? Your Honor, if you just knew what he did or how he acted, then you would know that I'm right. Oh, no. Oh, no. You always do that. And trying to prove your case one against the other, it's an endless cycle that you can never break. Well, I'll submit to him when he loves me the way you told him to. And I'll be the judge to see if he's doing it right. That's not the way that works. That's not the way that works at all. And what would happen is this, is that even if you're right, you're wrong. You get this? Because the judge is going to say, quiet. That's not being respectful. Quiet. No, you don't understand. Let me just make this fine. Quiet. You're in contempt of court. Even if you're right and you're telling the truth, and the judge has said, stop. I know enough. I'm not asking any more questions. And you keep going and going and pressing in. And he says, bailiff, take this person out of here. They're in contempt of court. Because God's court is not about who's right and who's wrong. You're both wrong. You're both human, sinful people who are jacked up and don't have the perfect life and don't do everything just right. The perfect one is the judge. He is God. He is the creator. And he's caring more about the attitude of your heart in a submissive spirit or a self-sacrificing for husbands, self-sacrificing love that is not saying, when you earn my love, I will give you the love that you deserve. That's not the way it works. That will never work out. Let's continue on in the illustration. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. That is the attitude, is that they would submit in husband to their husbands in everything. Well, in this area, he's good. So I'm good with that. Paul just closes the door on all that and says, look, you might be smarter, stronger, craftier, but the way things are ordered is this, is that your husband is called to lead the relationship, so let him. Let him do and be what God has called him to be. Because when you refuse to do that, you not only disobey God, you're also causing your husband to disobey God. Because then he will eventually give up in frustration, knowing that he's never going to please you, never going to do the things, and you're always going to question his leadership and question his motives, and he's never going to get anywhere. And it's going to drain him emotionally, and he's not going to want to step up again and get burned again, knowing that he's going to have to tug you down this road that he feels like God is calling him toward. To say, God is calling us in this direction, and we've talked it out, and I know you still have questions and you're still wondering what's going on, but let me just tell you, I really truly believe that this is where we're supposed to be going. And for you to go down that road questioning and kicking and screaming the whole entire way undermines what God has called him to do and to be, so stop doing that. Well, I think we took the wrong turn. I think we're going down the wrong road. You might be. But the blessing for you is the consequences of that is not on you. What you're being judged by God on is, are you submitting in that situation? Now, in good marriage situations, there is a beautiful relationship where husband and wife work together well. And the wife, in a lot of ways, in my situation, is like the Holy Spirit. It's that soft, gentle voice that's nudging and propping up and making me look better than I really am. Think about this. Think about that sun. How beautiful is the sun? It's not that beautiful. It's just a big ball of fire in the sky. You know what makes that sun look beautiful? the Earth's atmosphere. Because if you were to get closer and closer to the sun and be like, man, it's so beautiful, I just want to get a little bit closer and touch it, it would kill you. It would burn you up. It's horrible. Just like you guys. But when it is filtered through the atmosphere of the Earth and you see it at just the right angle, or there's clouds in the sky, you've got this beautiful creation that's then filtering that through, it can take something that's harsh and hot and mean and make it something that's warm and beautiful and worth looking at and looking up to. And so in a good marriage relationship, the wife will know her husband's weaknesses, but she won't know them in order to take advantage of them or to jab at them, but to soften them and to nudge her husband in the right direction without nagging her husband in the right direction. Because how's that been going for you? It's not been going good. The Proverbs tells us this, is that a nagging woman or a nagging wife is like a dripping faucet. Drip, 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 drip. You know, that's okay for like 8 seconds, right? But after that, it's like, shut it off, I'll do anything. And Proverbs goes on to say in another place, you know, it's better to live on the corner of the roof than to live in the house with a nagging wife. And you're going, well, Pastor, I mean, I'm just helping him. I'm just pointing out all his problems. I'm just trying to make him do what I want him to do. The attitude, submitting as the church submits to Christ, how would you do that to Christ? Would you treat Jesus that way? Sure you wouldn't. Back to all of us to say we are all called to live a life of submission. In that one aspect of life, wives are called to submit to their husbands as the Lord. But in all of life, we're all in the same boat. Every single person here who calls himself a believer is to live a submitted, obedient, sacrificial life as part of the church to Jesus. And so we're all a bride in that sense. And we're all called to submission to him. And when we don't understand, we obey. And when we disagree, we obey. And when it hurts and we have to give up something or we have to be uncomfortable and we question whether or not he really, truly loves us, because why would you take this away from me, or why would you have us move here, or why would you bring this person into my life who has hurt me? We say, God, we submit to you. We love you. We trust you. That is the future of this church. And that also is the future of our families, to say, regardless of what culture says, we are going to be a people that does what God calls us to do. We are going to be a city on a hill. We are going to be a light that shines, because ultimately doing things God's way will win out. Doing things God's way will always be better in the long run than in the short term of what society says. So let's do what God is calling us to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for myself that I would be a submitted man under your authority and under the accountability of the elders of this church. Lord, I pray that I would be a submitted man to my family, that we would submit one to another. And Lord, I pray that we all as a church would have that same attitude, that we would be submitted to Christ. And Lord, this week we also pray for a special grace upon the wives in our church, that you would help them to see the true beauty in submission to you and therefore to their husbands. And God, I pray that you would give them the strength and the ability to build up their families, to be a model of what a godly wife and mom should look like. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to raise them up and grow them spiritually. And Lord, for the ones who are struggling right now with this word, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't take it out against a church, But Lord, that they would take it up with you and your spoken word. Lord, that they would come and kneel down to you and say, Lord, what is your thinking on this? What does your word clearly say on this? And what should be my response? Lord, we leave that up to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you once again for being here, for being involved, for being in the life of the church, and for being a part of the beautiful picture that God is bringing together in his church and in his families. And so we are looking forward to what the future holds. There's a lot of uncertainty in the future, but we know that God holds that future. So we are a people that live by faith, not by fear. And so we're excited for what the rest of this year holds.